As I mentioned, the last several weeks, we've been considering the office of elder, its purpose and qualities and qualifications. We've considered the blessing that God gives to His church through the office of elders. And I'd like to close out this brief series on elders by thanking God for the blessing that He gives. And one way that we can show thanks to the Lord for that blessing is by following instruction to respect our elders. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul both teaches and exemplifies respect for elders. I'd like you to listen as I read 1 Corinthians 16, verses 10 through 18. If Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord, as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Now, concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. Respect for elders is a subject that is often applied to the relationship between children and their parents or adults. We are taught, and rightfully so, that we give honor and respect to those who are older than us. There's a more specific application that I have in mind this afternoon, though, of thinking of respecting elders as those leaders that God has directed in our midst. Paul, in this passage, this very simply simple outline for us this afternoon, is that Paul teaches and exemplifies respect for elders. Paul teaches and exemplifies respect for elders. We can see that in his dealings with Timothy, Apollos, and then to the local elders. I'll just follow that outline this afternoon to be taught by Paul's words and by his example, respect for elders. Timothy provides us a very good and important case to help us understand respect for the office of elder. It's a good test case because it might be tempting for us to put Timothy beside Paul and play a game of comparison and find out that Timothy is not quite the Christian leader that Paul is. That might be the temptation. We could say Paul is an apostle. He was ordained by God in a very special sense to lead the church. Paul is a published author. He wrote several letters of the New Testament. He's an inspired author, in fact, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the Word of God. Timothy, we might say, would only stand in Paul's shadow. But I want you to notice how Paul treats Timothy. It is right that we would hold Paul in high regard. All those things that I said about Paul are true, and we could add the working of many miracles and being a great apologist and preacher. But when we consider how he treated Timothy, we find out that Paul shows himself great respect for Timothy because of the office that he held. Timothy, as I mentioned, would be something of standing in Paul's shadow. Humanly speaking, we know that he was a disciple of Paul, was one that was following in Paul's footsteps in that sense. So he would have the relationship of a student to a teacher. We could also say that we learn about Timothy that he was nurtured by his mother and his grandmother. He appears to be a young man, one that Paul encouraged not to be ashamed of his youth, and in fact not to let anyone despise him for that youth. We also might see that Timothy had poor health, because Paul counsels him to take a little wine for his stomach. So if we put Paul and Timothy side by side, you might consider one greater than the other, and Timothy the lesser of the two. But listen again to what Paul says about Timothy. The Corinthians were to respect Timothy. The Corinthians were to respect him, not because of who he was, or because of the great accomplishments that he had achieved. They were to respect him for this reason, that he did the work of the Lord. They were to respect Timothy because he was working for God. When I read from the Old Testament this afternoon, I read about Jethro, who counseled Moses to elect or to appoint men over the children of Israel so that they could serve God. The men that they were to choose were to be God-fearing men. They were trustworthy. They were not covetous for dishonest gain. You notice that Jethro and Paul are similar in this. They don't go into the physical attractiveness or the charisma that the leaders of God's people should have. They don't go into personal accomplishments. Jethro and Paul are the same here. They talk about the character of the men who are elders. They talk of the task that God has called them to perform. Paul, we could say, exemplifies this, and he teaches the Corinthians to show respect to Timothy for the work that he does. In a similar case, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, which I've referred to before and urged you to be reading in the context of an election of an elder, when Paul sets out the qualities and the qualifications for those who are fit for the office of elder, not once does he mention their worldly accomplishments. He points to their godliness. This is something that we have been careful to point out today and over the last several weeks as we have considered leaders in our church, and especially the office of elder. We have considered and elected individuals based not on their worldly accomplishments, not on their social standing, but based upon their godliness and based upon their service to the Lord. Whenever I think about this, I'm prompted to remember an occasion that my sister had in a church outside of the Reformed community, where she was part of a committee to help elect elders for their congregation. In the midst of their decision-making process, they were saying, they made a list of all of the upstanding people, the upstanding men in their community, ones that if they were elected elders, they might see at church more often. And they were judging based upon their worldly accomplishments and not even taking into account their godliness, let alone their attendance at church. Paul gives three ways, especially, that the church can show respect to Timothy. He says, see to it that Timothy has nothing to fear. Second, do not despise him. And third, send him on his way in peace. It prompts us to see how we may honor our elders. And as we consider the receiving of Noah Bailey as a teaching elder, Lord willing, if God so lays that on his heart, that these are things that we should pray for as we anticipate that for Noah and for our own elders. Paul says your elders are worthy of protection. See to it that they have nothing to fear, and do not despise him. Your elders are worthy of protection both from outside fears as well as inside fears. From within the church, bickering, dissatisfaction can often and easily be directed toward the leadership. Just a very cursory history of the people of Israel, the children of Israel, in their Exodus teaches us this. How often do we find them grumbling against Moses and saying, "Why is it that you have led us out here?" And Moses is the one that is the focal point of their dissatisfaction. We find that it is very easy to take shots at those who are in exposed positions of leadership rather than to interact with that leadership and what is said. As Paul says concerning Timothy, no one should refuse to accept him. Even if they are younger or different from you on non-doctrinal and non-essential matters, there's respect for the office that we give and that we follow. I'm especially mindful of this as we come, Lord willing, to a time of adding an associate pastor, that it could be a time of, or an opportunity for division, an opportunity for thinking of in our congregation, those that are loyal to one pastor over and opposed to another pastor. Having a head pastor and an associate pastor can tend in that direction. It's an opportunity for strife to arise based on that. And I want us to be warned in the first place and to be committing ourselves even now before we have that opportunity to learn to work together and to learn to pray for mutual benefit in having this type of relationship. So protecting your elders from within, the idea of protecting so that there's nothing to fear and no despising from within. There's also a sense of protecting your elders from assaults without the church. This too doesn't take long to demonstrate. It's been said very well by a number of authors that in our day and age and in our culture that those who show spiritual leadership and those who show authority are generally despised by our culture. There's a rise, really, even more broadly than the spiritual community, a rise of despising those who are trained in intellectual endeavors or trained in leadership endeavors. That includes the clergy. Now, I must admit that I still find within the Oklahoma context that being a pastor does bring mostly respect from individuals. If I'm sitting at Aspen Coffee and someone asks me in conversation, "So what do you do for work?" I say I'm a pastor. Then usually the conversation is very respectful, and in fact they start apologizing for their language and they change how they act. So there's still some respect for the office of elder and for pastor. On the other hand, on the university campus, I find a very different character, and oftentimes if I'm on campus and I'm there with a religious book table, I get people that come up and try to challenge and try to debate and show very little respect or understanding to the doctrines of God or to the office of pastor. Your elders pastor and ruling elders included, are worthy of protection because they do the Lord's work. As you find those who are mistrustful of those in leadership, again, because of our culture, you have the opportunity to model respect and model a following of leadership that is very countercultural today. And finally, your elders are worthy of protection in a financial sense, in a physical way. Paul says to send Timothy on in peace, and implicit in that is more than just the peace between individuals, but implying physical provision as well. They were to take care of Timothy's physical needs so he wouldn't have to fear for providing for himself and for his livelihood. Paul expected to see Timothy again and made it clear that Timothy was important to him. In doing so, Paul raised Timothy up in his words. And you can do that too by respecting the reputations of your church leaders, respecting their authority, and providing for them physically. And in fact, if I could, I will commend you in this, especially coming from a time of a congregational meeting and the support that is given physically to me as your pastor. I commend you in this. As we again look to the adding of an associate pastor, we've taken great care to provide physically for Noah. Paul teaches this respect not only by teaching it about Timothy, but he points direction, he points respect towards Apollos as well. Apollos was one that you might guess would be very influential in Corinth. He was one that was there as the church was founded, and early on in 1 Corinthians you would find that there were factions within the church that were following after different leaders. Apollos was a very gifted preacher. He could speak well and probably better than Paul could. Now, Paul talks about himself as not being a very accomplished speaker. It's hard to imagine, but we're just reading his writing. But in Corinth, there were some that said, well, I follow Paul, and I follow Apollos, and I follow Christ, and all of those factions. You might think that the potential of Apollos going back into Corinth would be an occasion for further difficulty, and that Paul might show favoritism to his own disciple, Timothy, who was going back to Corinth to help. Instead of that, Paul here also builds up Apollos. He speaks of him with the same type of respect that he does for Timothy. He leaves Apollos in the position of respect and honor that he rightfully had as a minister of the Word of God, while confronting those that were divisive about those that they followed. He also shows respect to Apollos by urging him as a brother in Christ rather than speaking for him and directing him. He strongly urged him to go, but he doesn't answer for Apollos. Apollos is responsible for his own answer to the Corinthian church. Paul models this respect then by guarding against in Corinth the playing of different sides or the forming of divisions. Let me say again that Lord willing, we'll have an associate pastor in the Stillwater congregation for church planting in Enid, and it's a time that might naturally lead to the forming of parties. And I want to urge you and to prompt you to pray against that, and even hold me accountable to both that decision and that conviction. We pray that the Lord would grant a blessing upon this relationship, that he would bless both the Stillwater congregation and the starting of a new one in Enid. Finally then, after the message concerning Apollos, Paul gives several closing encouragements. He speaks very directly to the church in Corinth about their unity in the faith, about their being strong and courageous. He says, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love." He's urging them to be vigilant, to be strong in their service, their own service to the Lord, guarding against any form of disrespect or division that might creep in. I've noted before that unity is something that must be protected and promoted in the context of the relationship between congregation and elders. It's a place where unity is calls for courage, strength, and love. Those are qualities that we pursue as a congregation and as leaders, that we might work together in the mutual benefit of the congregation and Christ's kingdom. Because of this, Paul commends three of the leaders of the Corinth church, three that were demonstrating these characteristics: Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. These men are described in Acts and in Romans, elsewhere, as faithful men who worked in the midst of this Corinthian congregation, one that was experiencing rivalries and experiencing difficulties. They took to heart Paul's instructions about caring and nurturing for the flock of Jesus Christ. Because of that, they, as local elders, come to Paul to seek godly counsel. They're the ones that took the letter to Paul. They filled in the blanks that could not be answered by just what was written on the page. So Paul could ask them questions. What do they mean by this? And they could supply what he needed to know. And Paul built up these local leaders as well. Not only did he establish Timothy and Apollos as ones that were missionaries and doing the work of the Lord, but he built up these local leaders. He says, "They refreshed my spirit and yours." As they did the work of the Lord of nurturing their local community, the Corinthian church, as they sought answers for the difficulties that they faced, they were nurturing the flock of Jesus Christ. And that refreshed the Corinthian spirit because of the answers they received. And it refreshed Paul's spirit too as he saw children in the Lord pursuing Christ and his kingdom. He tells them to acknowledge such men. By so saying, he applies to submit to such men as ones exercising the work of the Lord in the office of elders. Paul teaches us by his words and by his examples to excel in these gifts of respecting our elders. We're to excel in regard for others and out of humility of mind treat each other as more important than ourselves. Elsewhere, Paul writes that in the Philippians. He also writes about submitting to one another in love and to your elders specifically. By Paul's example and by his teaching, we learn what it means to respect our elders, to protect them from disrespect and rumor, to protect them from tainted reputation or financial ruin. They do the work of the Lord, says Paul. So you too, as Paul instructs, so I instruct you, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men and women of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. As we reflect upon the grace of Christ that's given to us, let's reflect on the blessing that he has given in the office of elders. As we pray this afternoon, I would like to lead us in praying that God would bless us in this way. I invite you to please bow with me in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the many blessings that we do have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fact that our King is risen and ascended on high, that he has led captivity captive, that our ascended Lord has then in turn given gifts to his church. We thank you, O Lord, that you have given some to be apostles and teachers and elders. We thank you, God, that these gifts are given to us as a congregation. We honor you for the blessing that we have in our congregation of men of God to lead us. We pray for them that you would protect them from the attacks of the evil one, that you would protect them from without and from within. Lord God, I pray that we would be a people who are not stiff-necked, but that we would be gentle and quiet and teachable in our spirits. I pray that, too, in respect to the anticipation of an associate pastor. I pray, God, that you would give us teachable spirits to those, to one that you are calling and ordaining to the office of pastor. I pray, Lord, that if that would be Noah Bailey, that you would lay that on his heart and upon ours, not only on his to lead and to nurture and to teach, but on ours to be teachable, to be respectful, to be leadable. I pray, God, against divisions within the congregation, that you would convict us and purify us of factions, that you would lead us to be committed to do all things in love, to be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ against the temptations that easily beset us. Lord, we pray all of these things, acknowledging that our hope and our life itself is bound up in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Responds to the Lord's word in preaching by singing Psalm 78, Selection A. In this psalm, God calls us to be attentive to his word, to be attentive to the law that he teaches, and we respond, asking that we would not be hard-hearted or stiff-necked, but that we would pay attention to the Lord's word and teach not only our children, but our children's children and those that are even unborn, teach them to trust in God and recall God's works. We'll sing Psalm 78, Selection A. Please stand to praise God.